We are in the middle of Adon Olam. So we did the first three lines last year, and we'll focus on the fourth line today. Uhoya, uhoiva, uhoya besifara. And he was, and he is, and he will be in splendor. Uhoya, he was, uhoiva, and he is, uhoya, and he will be, besifara. So, it seems to be pretty simple, right? That Hashem was and is and will forever be. But there is much deeper meaning to this. And since today was Rosh Chodesh Elul, we will delve a little bit into the depth of these words. I'm not sure if I've shared with you the B'nai Saschar. The B'nai Saschar talks about why Chodesh Elul are Yemei Rachmim Rotzim. Why is it that specifically these days of Elul are days of compassion, days of tshuva? And he explains that there's a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Medrash asks, why did Hashem create the world? And the Medrash explains that Nimlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Nishmaseim Shal Tzadikim. Hashem sought out the neshamas of the tzaddikim. So what does this mean? So the Bnei Sosra explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a manner that the world should work in a fashion of Isra'usa de l'sata, meaning that there, that everything that comes from Hashem to us should be a result of our actions. I mean, if we perform mitzvahs, so then we're deserving of the abundance of Hashem's brachas. If the world would work in a manner of Hashem just constantly giving, then there's basically no purpose for creation. We've gone through this a couple times already. The purpose of creation was because Hashem wanted to bestow goodness upon... Hashem wanted to bestow goodness. In order to do so, Hashem made a creation so that there should be beings that and creations that can benefit from Hashem's goodness. Now, true goodness is only when a person is deserving, when one is deserving. When one is not deserving, it's not true goodness. When a person feels that they're just receiving a gift, it's not a good feeling. So, therefore, Hashem made it that there is free choice. We have the choice to choose between good and bad. So when we make the good choice, we're actually deserving Hashem's goodness. So the whole world is set up in a manner that there should be an isra'usa de l'sata, meaning an arousal from below. We arouse through our actions. We arouse from below Hashem's rachmim, Hashem's chesed, and then Hashem bestows that upon us. Hashem bestows His goodness upon us. So the obvious question is, if that was the whole purpose of creation, what what was this ru'usa de lasata? What was the arousal that brought about creation? If there were no creations at that time, so what was the arousal? What was the arousal from below to make a creation if there were no creations? So that says the Medrash, according to the Bnei Yisrael, is that Hashem, since He is Hoya Hoyveviya, since Hashem is, and will forever be all at the same time, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is Lamalaman Azaman, Hashem is above time, Hashem is able to see into the future, and Hashem is able to see the Nachas Ruach that He will get from the Tzaddikim. That He will get Nachas Ruach, He will get from the mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael does, that retroactively worked, that Hashem should bring about a creation. Now, says the Bnei Yisrael, this is a tremendous chizik for a person, because sometimes we look at our present, we look at our past, and it's nothing to be proud of. And now we're about to stand bedin, we're about to stand in judgment before Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. And what do we bring to the table? We want Hashem to bestow upon us a good year with parnasa and health and the naches and everything a yid wishes for. And what do we bring to the table? So the Bnei Sosra says, a yid is bringing to the table his future. A person can say to Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I know that my present and my past is not the way it should be, but I accept upon myself that in the future, things are going to be better. And if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam sees that there's a sincere resolution, and that the future will indeed be better, so to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the future and the present and the past is all the same. As we see by creation. Hashem, the whole creation was brought about based on the Nachas Ruach that Hashem has from the future. Well, Hashem could do the same thing every Rosh Hashanah, right? If I accept upon myself, then in the future I'm going to be a better person. Hashem will bestow upon me a wonderful year based on the Nachas Ruach that He will get from me in the future, since He sees that my Kabbalah is sincere. Says Bnei Sosra, that's why we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. Hashem, take us back to You. For what? V'noshuva. We will do tshuva in the future. Where do we see such a thing? Chadish yomeinu kikedem. Right? You should renew our days as you did back at the time of creation. Kikedem, as you did back at the time of creation, where you created a world totally based on the future. Says the Bnei Yisrael, when did this take place? That Hashem looked into the future and created the world. If creation began on Chaf El, right, because man was created on Rosh Hashanah, so creation began on Chaf El, so that means that this whole cheshbon, this whole calculation that Hashem made, that Hashem has the ability to look into the future and to bestow brachas on credit, right? That took place on Chodesh El. That's why Chodesh El is a time of Rachman Rotzen, it's a time of tshuva. It's a time for people, for Yidden, to make resolutions for the future. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam bestows His brachas upon us as He did at the time of creation. Chodesh Yemeinu Kikedem. According to this, we can understand that this week's parsha, we have what seems to be a contradiction. Towards the end of the parsha, we have the parsha of Meshuach Melchama, meaning there was a kohen that was anointed to go out to war, whenever Bnei Yisrael would go out to war. So it says that he, the Meshuach Melchama, would stand up before they went out to war, and they would make an announcement. Whoever just got married should go back home. Whoever just built a house should go back home. Whoever just built just planted a vineyard should go back home. Then he would say, somebody who is afraid and has a soft heart should go home. He shouldn't melt the heart of his brothers like his heart. So Chazal, Rashi brings Chazal explaining, what does it mean? Isha yore varach alev, of somebody who's afraid and has a faint heart. Say Chazal, ha yore me avera shabi yodai. It means somebody who's afraid of the averas that he has in his hands. Somebody who's afraid of their averas, they're afraid that their averas will cause them to fall in battle. Such a person shouldn't go out to war. So you see from here, it seems to say that somebody who has any averas should not go out to war. Immediately before that, the first word that the Meshulach Muhammad says is, Shema Yisrael atam yotam ayam l'malcham alaveichem. Listen, Yisrael, you're going out to war against your enemies. Says Rashi on the word Shema Yisrael, Afilo eivichem z'chus elo Shema Yisrael belvad, ruyim atam lihinotzem. Even if the only merit you have is Shema Yisrael itself, that itself is enough merit for you to be saved. So here on one hand, we have Chazal telling us that even if Bnei Yisrael only have the schus of Shema Yisrael itself, that is sufficient. And then a couple of lines later, it says that if you're afraid of the averus that you have, then don't even go out to war. What do you mean? You just said Shema Yisrael is enough. So I believe that according to what the Bnei Yisrael says, I think that what the Torah HaKadosh is telling us is that Shema, what is Shema Yisrael? Shema Yisrael is Kabbalas Malach HaShemayim, is accepting upon oneself the yoke of heaven. From now on, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And in essence, what we're saying is, listen, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Havai Echad. We know that Yud Kei Vav Kei stands for Hoya Hoyve V'Yia. Right? Hashem was, Hashem is, Hashem will forever be. And Havai is Echad, meaning the Hoya Hoyve V'Yia is all one to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So if I accept upon myself all Malach HaShemayim from now on, so now I have merit. I have merit. I can be successful. I can be successful in battle, because to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Asid, the Avar, and the Hoyve, the future, the past, and the present, is all one. And if my Kabbalas Malach HaShemayim for the future is a sincere Kabbalas Malach HaShemayim, then I have nothing to be concerned. I should not be concerned about the past, because I am making now a sincere Kabbalah for the future, and a sincere Kabbalah for the future works. But if someone is concerned about the past, meaning a person is not confident with his or her resolution for the future, someone is not confident with their Shema Yisrael, somebody who's concerned about the averas of the past, then don't go out. Don't go to war. Don't go to battle. A yid has no right to be concerned about the averas of Yodai. We should be confident with our Shema Yisrael, because Havai Echad, Hu Hoya, Hu Hoyve, Hu Yia, Misifara. And the Bisifara is an the Vahuyya. When we're talking about the future, that is where the splendor lies. The splendor might not lie in the present or in the past. Because when we look at our Hoyve and our Hoya, we might not find the splendor. But Vahuyya Bisifara, the Vahuyya, it's in that future where we will find the splendor. the future of every Yid is brilliant. We all have the ability to have that Shema Yisrael and therefore be successful in our battles. Last week's Pasha, in Pasha's Re'eh, if you look into the Rashi over there, it says, the Pasha begins, Re'eh Nesati Tefnech Hayayim, Re'eh Anoichi Nesati Tefnech Hayayim Bracha Klala. Right? Realize I place before you today a blessing and a curse. The bracha will be that you will listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Klala will be if you won't listen. Now there's a difference in the lashon, right? By the bracha it says it's a bracha asher tishmu, that you will listen. By the klala it says by klala im loy tishmu, if you won't listen. So there it says, it doesn't say, by the bracha it doesn't say if you will listen. It doesn't say im tishmu. It says it's a bracha asher tishmu, that you will listen. By the klala it says by klala im loy tishmu, if you won't listen. And Rashi is bothered by that, and Rashi says two words. On the word asher tishmu, he says Rashi, Al menas asher tishmu, on the condition that you will listen. What did Rashi add? It seems obvious that's what the pasuk is telling us, right? On the condition. The bracha will be on the condition that you will listen. Now, I believe that what Rashi is telling us is exactly what we were talking about. The bracha is not when you will listen. The klala is im loy tishmu, when you won't listen. That's when there's klala. The bracha is not when you will listen. The bracha is al menas asher tishmu. If you only accept upon yourself that you're going to listen, that's already good enough. That is when the bracha takes place. Because to the Ribbono Shel Olam, looking into the future, the Ribbono Shel Olam seeing our resolutions as sincere as they are, the Ribbono Shel Olam sees the future and gives us on credit. Asher tishmu, almanas asher tishmu. As long as we're willing to listen, that's sufficient. Comes to mind now. Seems to be a contradiction. In Pasha's Kiseitze, next week's Pasha, in the beginning of the Pasha, we have the Pasha that Ben Seder and Moira, the rebellious child. So the Torah says that this child, we're talking about a child that steals and meat and whatever. It's a rebellious child. So the Torah HaKadosh says to put the child to death. And Rashi explains that as Ben Sotir Demoyer is Nereg Al Shem Soifai. He hasn't done anything yet that he really deserves to be put to death. He's being put to death because what's going to happen at the end. Because the path that he's on now is going to cause him to become a cutthroat and to stand by the precious drachim, as Rashi says, to stand at the crossroads and attack people and murder them. So, says the Torah HaKadosh, these are Rashi's words from Chazal, says the Torah HaKadosh, Mutiv Yamus Zaka Val Yamus Chayev. I'd rather that he dies innocent than die guilty. Now, the contradiction to this is, in Parshas Vayera, right, we have Avraham Avinu sends away Hagar and Ishmael, and they're Hagar and Ishmael dying of thirst, and Hagar throws Ishmael under one of the bushes. So the pasuk there says, "Vayishma Hashem is koil anar ba'asher hu sham." Hashem heard the sound of the voice of the lad where he was. So Chazal tells us that that Hashem was going to save Yishmael and create a wellspring for him to drink. And the Malachim started screaming, what are you doing? This is a person whose offspring is going to murder your children with noidos nefuchim, suicide bombs. Why are you saving him? So to which the Rebbeinu Shlomo responds, Mahu Achsha, what is he now? Tzadik or Rasha? They responded, he's a tzadik now. Now he hasn't done anything yet. So that's Ba'asher Husham, what is he now? So the kasha is, why is it might have been Sarah Namoyer? Do we say that Nerag Hashem Soifai? And here we say Ba'asher Husham, now we say, and here Yishmael is saved because now he's a tzadik. Why don't we say that he should be Nerag Hashem Soifai? So, I once heard from my father, Zangazint, that we find in the Torah that Yishmael is, why did Avram send away? Because Sarah found Yishmael mitzachek. He found him mitzachek, laughing. So my father pointed out that, take a look at the difference between Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yishmael is a mitzachek, and Yitzchak is Yitzchak. What's the difference between Yitzchak and mitzachek? No, not in letters, in definition. In definition. Oh. Yitzchak is future. He will laugh. Yishmael is present. Mitzachek, he's laughing now. My father explained that the Rasha, all the Rasha is interested in is instant gratification. Without any cheshbon whatsoever of what this instant gratification, what kind of destruction this instant gratification might bring about. And what the dire consequences can be from this instant gratification. This is what, unfortunately, we're dealing with in the world, right? This is all the terrible tithes that there are. What they're all about is instant gratification. Even though some of them are lethal, they're toxic, and they cause a person the different tithes that there are out there can cause terrible things. Nevertheless, all the Yetzer Hara has the person in the moment. They don't in the taiva of the moment, without being able to think about the future. The tzaddik, however, doesn't act without thinking about the future. The tzaddik acts before he acts. What is this going to bring about? What are the consequences going to be? A tzaddik is thought out properly. A tzaddik thinks about the future. That's the difference between Yitzchak and Mitzachik. Yitzchak is, I want to be able to laugh at the end. He who laughs last, laughs best, right? Yitzchak is the one that is going to laugh at the end. Mitzachek is one that's laughing now. So a people that live in the future, a people that are Yitzchaks, people that live in the future, have the right to be judged on the future. We are judged not on the moment. We're judged based on the future. If Chas V'Shalom, we would be judged based on where we are now, it would be Tzaris. We have a Schus, since we live in the future, we have the Schus to be judged on the future. And since hopefully by us, we have resolutions that our future is going to be wonderful, so we are judged based on that future. And the Rebbeinu Shlom gives us bracha, as the Bnei Yisrael says, based on the future. And when the Rebbeinu Shlom sees a ben soder d'moreh, sees a rebellious child, that his future does not look promising, quite the contrary. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, you know what? I'd rather this child dies innocent than dies guilty. Because the Rebbeinu Shlom judges Klal Yisrael on the future, not on the present. Whereas the Yishmoels of the world, the Metzacheks of the world, who live only in the present, they don't deserve to be judged in the future. They are judged on the present. So now that they're blowing up Yidden, and they're sending missiles to kill Yidden, they should be judged on the present, and Rabbeinu Shlomo should take care of them once and for all. But back then, Yishmael didn't have this chus of Yomu Zakav al Yomu Schayev. He didn't have the merit to die innocent and not to die guilty, because he's a person who lives in the present. So he's judged on the present. It's only we that we have the v'huyia b'sifara, that our v'huyia, our future, that is where the splendor lies. The Kedushas Levi says, that this was the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rabbeinu Shleilem at the burning bush. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Hashem tells Moshe to go take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, first of all, who am I to do this? And then he says, will I be able to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? And Rashi explains that his question was, what merit do they have to be taken out of Mitzrayim? So on the second question, Hashem responds, right, this is the sign that I sent you, and as Rashi explains, what Hashem answered was, you're right, they have no merit. They have fallen to the lowest levels of Tumah. However, when they leave Mitzrayim, they're going to be Mekabel the Torah. So then Moshe Rabbeinu's next question is, when I come to Bnei Yisrael, they're going to ask me, and I'm going to tell them that Hashem sent me to them, they're going to ask me, what's his name? What should I tell them? So Hashem's answer is, tell them, Eke Shlachani Alechem. Hashem's name, Aleph Hei, Yud Hei. This is what you should tell them. Eya Asher Eya. Right? Why did Hashem choose the name Aleph Ke Yud Ke out of all names? To identify himself to Bnei Yisrael. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? What's his name? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know Hashem's name. So the Kedushas Levi says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu's question was, you're redeeming them based on a merit of the future? Yeah, that's what Hashem answered. They don't have any schus now. Right? But they will receive the Torah in the future. That's why I'm redeeming them. How does that work? Redeeming them based on the Kabbalah of Torah of the future. Says the Kedushas Levi, what the Rabbeinu Shlomo taught Moshe Rabbeinu then was this concept that we're talking about now. That if a person resolves that they are going to be mekabel the Torah, that itself is a schus. That itself, the resolution for the future, is a schus. And the person is judged based on that resolution. The v'huyia b'sifara. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said to Rabbeinu Shlomo, that's gevaldik. What is this? Tell me the name that is associated with this concept. And Hashem said, you know what the name is? Eya. Eya means I will be. Eya means I will be. It's the ability for every Yid to say, even though I am not now, I will be. So we weren't redeemed from Mitzrayim in the schus of an event that will take place in the future. We were redeemed from Mitzrayim because Yetzias Mitzrayim entailed a Kabbalah HaTorah. It entailed, we are going out to accept the Torah. There was a future that the Rabbeinu Shlomo saw within every Yid. A resolution to accept the Torah. and 4/5 of Klal Yisrael that weren't ready to make that resolution, they perished. There's a medrash that says, and the Shira, right, the Shira Sayyam, the Medrash says, it says in the Pasuk like this, Hashem Yimlach the Anavod, Kivas is Parav Erechbay Vafrash Vayam. Right? The Bnei Yisrael said, Hashem Yimlach the Anavod, Hashem will be king forever. And then the Pasuk continues, Kivas is Parav Erechbay Vayam, because Parai and his chariot came into the sea. Vayoshav Hashem Aleim Esmei Hayam, and Hashem returned upon them the waters of the sea. Bnei Yisrael walked on dry land within the sea. The Medrash adds one word: Hashem Yimloich Lo'olam Vo'ed. Hashem reigns for. Hashem will king forever. Lama. That's one word. It adds Lama. Why? Kivas was paravich b'bayam, because Parai and his chariot came into the waters. Now, it seems that the Medrash is trying to explain something. What the key? What is the key? Because what does that mean? And the Medrash makes it a lot worse. How is Kivos's part of Rikvay a reason for Hashem Yimlech Leilam Vayet? So I had a wild idea. We see that Mitzrayim, there's so much, there's a lot going on with Mayim in Mitzrayim. Right, the whole the first Makkah was the water turning to blood. Every Makkah, Moshe Rabbeinu had to go out to the waters to warn Parai. There's a lot going on with Mayim. Moshe was called Moshe Kimina Mayim Mishisu. He was taken out of the waters. There's Mayim is that makes it. There's a lot going on with the Mayim. We also see that Mitzrayim was successful in getting Bnei Yisrael, lowering Bnei Yisrael to the Memtesh Ha'aitum. What was the secret of their success? Perhaps the ability for us to get ourselves, constantly raise ourselves out of the tumma. After all, we're in a land, in a world, in Olam Haza that is full of tivus, full of tumma. And Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is thriving. They're self invited. And we constantly raise ourselves out of tumma. And the only reason we're able to do that is because of the Behuyi Abisifar, because we have a Chodesh Elul once a year, and we have these different opportune times, and we have a Shemin Esrei every day where we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. We're constantly asking Hashem to accept our tshuva. It's always because we have that future to grab onto. If we would have to live our lives with only the present and the past, I believe that we would, our descent would be quick, and I don't think we'd be ascending too quickly. It's only because we have that future, we have the ability to raise ourselves, to do tshuva. Every yid has the ability to make it, to resolve that from now on is going to be better. That's the only reason why we're able to constantly raise ourselves out of the rut. The beginning of Adonai Olam talks about Hashem Melech. Right? Adonai Olam Hashem Melech. Azai Melech Shmei Nikra. And then Levada Yimloich Naira, right? So there's the present, Hashem is Melech, Hashem is Malach, which is the past, and Hashem Yimlech, which is the future. Similar to V'Hoya, V'Hoyva, V'Hoyia, right? He was, he is, and he will be. Mayim is Rosh HaTevis. It's an acronym for Melech, Yimlech, Malach. Right? Hashem is Melech, Hashem will be Melech, and Hashem was Malach. Hashem was king. So it's the past, the present, and the future. I would like to suggest that Mitzrayim had us focusing only on the present and the past. Mitzrayim did not allow us to focus on the future. They had locked the yud between the two mems, and they did not allow us to access the yud, which is Yimloch, the future. Hashem will king in the future. Our ability to accept upon ourselves Malchus Shemayim in the future. They had us only focusing on the Melech and the Moloch, and the way our Malchus Shemayim looks in the present and the way it looks in the past is nothing to be proud of. We are constantly grabbing on to the Hashem Yimloch, to the fact that we have the ability to say Shema Yisrael and to accept upon ourselves all Malchus Shemayim in the future. So Mayim represents that yud of Yimloch locked in between the Melech and the Moloch. That is how Mitzrayim landed us in the Memtei Shaarei Tumah. The only way that we were zoicha to leave Mitzrayim was Vayubaku Hamoyim, the Pasuk says. The Mayim split. And we were able to access that yud. So the Pasuk says by the Shira, Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Voed. Doesn't say Hashem Melech, doesn't say Hashem Moloch. It says Hashem Yimloch Lo'olam Voed. Says the Medrash Lama, why? Kivasus Paray B'rech B'Yam. Because Paray and his chariots came into the Yam. Vayashev Hashem Aleihem. New words here. Es Mei Hayam. Instead of Mayim, there are two words. Mei Yam. Right? The waters of the sea. It was split. Mayim has been split. We are now have access to the Yud. That's Yitzias Mitzrayim. So this concept of Hashem Yimloch, Lo'olam Voed, Hashem will king forever, is Malchus. It's not plain Malchus, just kingdom. It's sort of a chesed that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is willing to accept our Malchus Shemayim, our acceptance of Malchus Shemayim for the future, for the present as well. But it's not total chesed, because without that resolution, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam doesn't do this for us. It's the combination of chesed and din is called Tiferes. Right? Avraham is chesed, Yitzchak is din, and Yaakov is Tiferes. The ability for a Yid to say, Eya, I will be. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, in that merit, to bestow upon us kindness, is Tiferes Shebe Malchus. Eya, which is the shame that Hashem says that a Yid has the ability to say, I will be, is Gematria 21. The sphera of day 21 is Tiferes Shebe Malchus. Right? It is the splendor of Malchus, and that's why we say V'huyia, that ability to be able to attach ourselves to the Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, to the future B'sifara, that is specifically in Tiferes. That is where the splendor lies. There's so much more to talk about in this Inyan, of holding on to the future. But as we enter Chodesh Elul, we have to know, we have to realize that the koyach of Chodesh Elul is the Hashem Yimloch La'olam Voed, is the Huyi Abisifara, is grabbing on to the future, making true and sincere resolutions. And that's chus will all be zeicher to exiv v'chsimatayve, agit gemen shtiyur, ashenaz ge'ulav Yeshua, v'vias Mashiach, tzidkeinu v'meir v'yameinu.